If you've been with us, we have been going through Luke, and today we'll be in Luke chapter 2. If you'd like to open up along with us in the Pew Bibles, that is page 832. I'll be reading out of one of the Pew Bibles. If you'd like to follow along, that is Luke chapter 2, or page 832. As we've been going and looking at the Christmas story, we've looked at these four songs that as you kind of look there in your Bible, you see between chapter 1 and chapter 2 of Luke, there's four different little songs that come up. There's Mary's song, and we went over that, and then there's Zechariah's song. We looked at Zechariah's song. And then the angels sing this song when they arrive over the heavens, over the shepherds. They sing their song. And today, we're going to look at a passage you might never have heard before. It's seldom preached, this story of Simeon and Anna and Simeon's prophecy. Now, I don't fault anybody on that one. It's no one's fault if you haven't heard this before. It's kind of unusual. I mean, where do you preach this passage? It is about the Christ child. It's about Jesus as a child being consecrated in the temple. And so last week we spoke about his birth, and last week we talked about him being born in the manger and the angels proclaiming it to the shepherds, and we spoke about that last Sunday, and here we are. It's still not yet Christmas Day, but we're going to look at what happens after Christ is born. So it makes sense. Where do you put this sermon that's absolutely an inherent part of the Christmas story but comes, you know, after Christ is born? Well, we're going to look at it today. And so if you've missed any of the past sermons in this setup, you're welcome to go listen to those. You can check the website or any podcast app, including the iTunes store. Just look for Talitha Baptist Church, and you can listen to these sermons leading up to Christmas this week about how Christ is proclaimed again and again to these different groups of people by these different people. But today, we're going to look at Simeon and Anna. Simeon, this is one of my favorite scripture passages. I love it because of who the good news is proclaimed to. Who gets to hear about the Christ being born? Who gets to be a part? Last week, it was shepherds, some rednecks out in a field working at night. The guy's on night shift. And today, it's an old widow and an old priest get to be a part of that. This is who God announces his salvation to, and what a joy it is. Let's pray and let's read scripture together. Father God, may the reading of your word and the hearing of your word be worship to you today. Father, put your spirit on us to teach us about yourself so that we can worship you better. This I pray in your name. Amen. Luke chapter 2, verse 22. When the time came for the purification rites required by the law of Moses, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem named Simeon, who was righteous and devout, and he was waiting for the consolation of Israel, that is, for Israel to be consoled by the Lord. And the Holy Spirit was on him. And it has been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what was custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel." And the father's mother and child were marveled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed. And a sword will pierce your own soul too." There was also a prophet, a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Penuel, the tribe of Asher. And she was very old, and she had lived with her husband for 7 years after their marriage, and she was a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple, but she worshiped day and night, fasting and praying. Coming up to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God, and she spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. This is the word of the Lord today. We are all called to do just as Simeon and Anna did. we are called to wait on the Lord. Everyone who has ever been called to follow after Him, to obey Him, to trust Him, has a season, has a time in their life, in a place where they are waiting on the Lord. And that is the calling in that season, in that time, to wait on the Lord. What a joy it must have been for Simeon and Anna both of them, who were well advanced in age. Interesting that Simeon's age is not given, but the woman's is. All right. Interesting. Anna is 84, and she's been a widow all but 7 years after she was married. And good news to you, too, if you find yourself in or near Anna's position in life, Christ has come for you as well. God has loved you dearly. And God had a plan for Anna and a purpose for her life. And right here, she was able to see Jesus Christ born in the flesh, her God that she had worshipped, come to save Israel. And she begins to worship Him, Scripture says. But even more interesting, she had been worshiping Him all along. She didn't start worshiping God when she saw Jesus. Scripture says, all of these years she had been there in the temple, worshiping God, fasting and praying at all times. When Christ comes, that doesn't change what she begins to do. She's been doing it all along, worshiping God, and now she gets to do it, having seen Christ come. We are called to wait on the Lord. We are not really all that different from Simeon and Anna. Simeon and Anna knew that Christ was coming, that He was going to be born. Simeon had been told by the Holy Spirit that he would not pass away until he got to see God's Messiah, the Christ, Jesus Christ, come and born in flesh. And he does. And his words are, okay, you can let me go now. You did everything you promised to me. We are like them in that we too are waiting on Christ. Our Father said in the Old Testament, He promised to Abraham that He would send a son, that there would be an heir, that there would be a descendant someday to sit on David's throne, somebody who would be a blessing not just to Jerusalem, not just to Israel, but to all nations, and that was Jesus Christ who came. But Christ said after He died, after He rose again, He said to His disciples, I'm coming back. I will be back. When I return, I'll set all things right and judge the living and the dead. Until that day, you are to go and make disciples of all nations. And so you and I are much like Simeon and Anna as we are waiting on the Lord. We live our lives waiting on the return of Christ, saying regularly, Father God, come soon. Come soon and set all these things right. Put an end to sin. Father God, come soon and put an end to death. Come soon and put an end to the separation that we have between ourselves and the ones we love who have already gone on before us. We too wait on the Lord. And in many seasons in our life, in many situations, we are called to wait on God. There are three things you need to know while you wait on the Lord. And these are them. First of all, you need to know that as you wait on the Lord, you must obey Him, even if it's painful, especially when it's painful. Simeon and Anna had to wait a long time. Do you imagine that it was easy on them? All these decades of waiting on the Lord. Perhaps they could have gotten bitter at a young age, saying, nah, He's not coming. I'm out. I'm going to go have some fun. And yet they waited on the Lord their entire lives. We, as we wait on the Lord, continue to do right and obey Him, even when it looks painful. This is important specifically for relationships that we have. If you're in a relationship looking towards marriage, if you're excited about being married someday, what do? Wait on the Lord in His timing in order to bless this marriage. For some of you, that means not kindling up a romantic relationship until the time is right. Don't start something until you know it's in a position and a time in which it can end in a godly marriage. All dating, all romantic relationships like that, if there's no chance of them becoming a godly Christian marriage, then why are you in it? You're not waiting on the Lord properly. We know many who will settle on the wrong partner rather than waiting on God, who will say, well, he's good enough. Well, she's all right. We can fix this. We'll work that out later on. Let's go ahead and get married. Now, God has good plans for you in life. And if you are waiting on the right spouse, then continue to wait on the Lord and know that He has good and right planned for you. Don't settle for someone who's not a believer. Don't settle for someone who says they're a Christian but has no evidence of it in their life. Rather, follow God rightly. Meredith and I have a good friend from college named Autumn, who's a great friend of Meredith's. We love her dearly. And while Meredith and I, went to a small Baptist college, so when we got married, it was right after we graduated, and we were the third of five weddings in a row that we went to. Almost a little culty, right? But that's the small Baptist school thing. Graduated this week. I stood in a wedding as a groomsman. I stood in a wedding as a groomsman. It was my wedding. I stood in a wedding as a best man. I stood in a wedding as a groomsman. Every weekend, it went like that. And that's what happened. We got small school. It worked out great. I got an excellent wife out of it all. I mean, I'm not complaining. This is a great story about how me and all these other guys said we can't afford to rent tuxedos, so what if we get a bulk deal to buy them and just own it? We did. It was cheaper. We just found out you can rent just the tie and vest really cheap for like 10 bucks a person per wedding, so no problem. Every bride got to pick out what tie and vest we were wearing, but it was the same everything else. This is the way we got to do it, but not Autumn. She graduated college, and there was no right man yet for her. There was no Christian man for her to get married to, and that was hard on her. She was a good Christian girl and deserved a good Christian man, and we waited years for her to be married. Then 4 or 5 years after college, a guy came along. This guy was willing to go to church with her, but was not taking her to church. This guy had a lot of things in his life that weren't right, and he wasn't really looking to change any of them. And Autumn, though it was painful, though she watched all of her friends get married 5 years earlier, Autumn still made the right decision and said, "This isn't right. I will continue to wait on the Lord." Then 9 years after we graduated from college, as Meredith and I come up on our 10th anniversary, the right guy came along. His name's Daniel Pride, which is about as good a name as you can get. Am I right? Vaguely reminds me of Daniel Tiger, but still really a tough name, a good one for a man. So now she's Autumn Pride. And he's a great man of the Lord. And she waited. She waited a long time, but she did not settle. And the Lord provided for her, and she couldn't be happier. God is good. Listen, don't you settle for the wrong person. Don't you settle because you just kind of need somebody and you're tired of being lonely. Wait on the Lord. God provides for us. Another way, even as we talk about it this morning, Lottie Moon, Charlotte Moon, the missionary we talk about, she never married. She had an opportunity. She fell in love one time to her Hebrew professor. They were very close in age. He was a young up-and-coming scholar. His name was Crawford Toy. He worked for the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary when it was in Greenville, South Carolina originally. And he was brilliant, this guy. He taught Greek and he taught Hebrew, and he was the up-and-coming professor. And he was still very young, and she went there to go and learn the languages so she could go be a missionary and translate scripture into other languages. And they just fell for each other. But there was this problem. Crawford Toy began to accept what we call German liberalism. He was reading these scholars from Central Europe at the time who were saying, Scripture isn't written by who it says it's written by. The letter says Paul wrote this letter. That's not true. Really, it was written later on in a later tradition. He began to accept these ideas and to teach them that, it's not really reliable per se. God's still good and he loves us, but, this has had iterations and there's been versions and it's changed up over time, and so you don't actually have to believe it at its word. And he began to teach this. And he was subsequently had to leave his friends, his family at the Southern Baptist Seminary, and he went to go teach at Harvard University. And at the time, they were perfectly happy to accept him in those words. And Charlotte had a decision to make. Whether or not she was going to follow him there and be married, or if she was going to fulfill the calling God put on her life to go be a missionary. And because of his poor theology and the calling God put on her life, she turned him down. She did not marry. She waited on the Lord, and she followed after him. See, Lottie Moon, her story is real helpful for us on waiting on the Lord. Because what if you wait on the Lord, and all you get is Jesus Christ? Will that be enough for you? Another way in which we wait on the Lord in relationships is this. If you're not married, do not act as if you are. This is important. God created us for marriage. Marriage is a joy and a delight, and marriage is an act of worship. But if you're not actually in a marriage yet, do not behave as if you are. You want God's blessing on your marriage. How will you have it? How can this marriage be an act of worship if you didn't go about waiting on the Lord and obeying Him rightly? Rather, obey the Lord in all these ways and He will provide for you. Congregation, not only do we obey Him, even when it's painful, but also I say to you, while you're waiting on the Lord, never sacrifice what is right for what is quick. Never sacrifice what is right for what is expedient or what seems practical. You see this all the time. It happens even throughout Scripture. You recall King Saul. King Saul was terrified. He was the ruler of the nation of Israel. He didn't really want the job. He didn't know what he's doing. He didn't really trust God. And when he brought his small little Israeli army, when he brought his small little Jewish army, a couple of thousand people against the Philistines, who were tens of thousands, when he came out against this army, he was terrified. And he really needed God to work powerfully if they were going to win. And he was supposed to wait until Samuel, the prophet, had come and offered the sacrifices to God and done right. As the Philistine army gets closer and closer, and as Samuel has still not arrived to offer the sacrifices to God, but the Philistines keep getting closer to Saul and his army, Saul says, I'll go ahead and make these sacrifices. And then right then, Samuel arrives and says, Saul, what have you done? Why did you not wait on the Lord? Never trade doing what is right for doing what's fastest or what seems practical in the moment. If the Lord has said this is good and this is evil, then do not do evil, even though it seems like it might get you there a little quicker. This has a great application for us in voting. That's right, we're talking political this morning. You ready? So there's a great application for it. I'm not here to endorse a candidate for you this morning, but I am here to say, my goodness, what a joy it is. I don't think anyone in the history of the world has been freer to worship God as we are right now. Perhaps just as free, but this is incredible. We don't worship Him in fear this morning. Thank the Lord. And we get the opportunity to vote on our leaders. What a blessing. So for you, as a Christian, your act of voting ought to be an act of worship to God. So you ought to do it well. However, as you go about doing this, you will only be able to vote as an act of worship to God if you do it by praying first, saying, Father God, who shall I vote for? What issues are most important to you? And then discovering what issues are most important to our Father, you can't trade those for what seems a little more pressing to you at the time. For the vast majority of voters right now, the most important issues seem to be security and prosperity. That is to say, security in the economy, security and prosperity. Those seem to be the most important issues to everyone. But I ask you today, what are the most important issues to our Father? Believe the most important issues as you read Scripture, that God cares most for the children of the nation. That as abortion continues, it is an awful thing in the eyes of God. How many who He loves, who He is knitting together in the womb, are not even allowed to see the light of day, to be born and to hear Him, hear of Him and to worship Him rightly. This is a great evil. Another thing, what's important to God? Freedom to worship. Religious liberty has kind of been our thing as Baptists. We're kind of the ones who were first on board with the religious liberty thing long ago, not just for ourselves, but for everyone. Knowing good and well that you can't force somebody to be a good Christian, so they must have the freedom to not have to act like a Christian if you're ever going to know who real Christians are. You can't ever twist somebody's arm and make them into a good Christian. You can twist somebody's arm and make them obey. You can twist somebody's arm and make them tithe. But you can't twist somebody's arm and make them have faith in Jesus Christ. And so they must be free to worship. Everyone must be free to worship, not just us. And this is important to our Father as well. Another issue that would be important to our Father is how we treat the helpless and how we treat the sojourners with dignity and humanity. This doesn't mean you have to accept refugees in your house or in your state. But it does mean, are we treating these people who are helpless, who are victims, who have been hurt, are we treating them with dignity and humanity? Or are we treating them spitefully? These are what is important to our Father. Look at Scripture. Tell me I'm wrong. But if you trade these and say, nah, I'm going to go with this candidate. He's awful on all of these, but I think he's going to keep us safe. Then you've done wrong. You must prioritize what is important to God over temporary security, over your hopes for prosperity. Never sacrifice what is right for what is expedient or what seems practical in this moment. Never. And see, waiting on the Lord, though, it doesn't just mean don't do what's wrong. So far, it does mean do not sin as you wait on the Lord. But it doesn't mean just don't do what's wrong. It also means do well. We are never to be idle as we wait. We continue to move forward in good deeds. God has given us a commandment. We wait on Jesus Christ to return. But in the meantime, he has said, bear fruit. Christ has called each of us to do. In the meantime, he has said, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and teaching them to be obedient to everything that I commanded. We teach obedience to Christ as he has commanded us to do, because someday he will return and require an accounting. What did you do with the time that you had? We are never to be idle, never just sitting by. Well, I was waiting on you. Yeah, we're waiting on him to return, but we're waiting with a commandment to do. We have a purpose, and that is to let everyone else know about Jesus Christ. So as you wait on the Lord, do not be idle. First of all, fight. I say this even as your pastor, fight for your church attendance. Don't give it up so easily. Waiting wears on us, and we're all doing it. But if you're going to continue obeying him rightly, you need to join together with the congregation to worship him rightly. Fight for your church attendance. Another way to not be idle is share the gospel with somebody, with anybody. Are you a believer? Are there people in your big extended family who are not believers? And you think to yourself, well, I mean, maybe, you know, it's just my nephew. I mean, it's not really my responsibility to share gospel with him. You know, my brother will get that taken care of. Or, well, I mean, it's my uncle. I mean, he's older than I. I've been looking up. I can't, that's not my job to, listen, if you're a believer in your family, it's your job. Take it up on yourself to share the gospel with them, to let them know that Jesus Christ loves them dearly, and that they can worship him rightly, and that they can have forgiveness of their sins simply by believing and turning away from sin. Call them to repentance. Take it on your own job this season. Another thing you can do as we wait, go on mission trip. Leave your home to go to a place you've never been before for the specific reason of sharing the gospel with somebody. Our mission trips this next year were announced 2 weeks ago. And so you're still more than welcome to sign up for them. We are going to a North American Mission Board church plant that we sponsor in Boston in September. If you'd like to go along with us to Boston, we're going to be knocking on doors, we're going to be handing things out, we're going to be reaching out to people and going to a big community outreach event to tell people about Christ, and then helping the little church plant that's the same size as we are share the gospel in that area. It's going to be a great blessing and a wonderful blast. Don't sit idle. Come along with us on that one. You can come too to Boston in September with us. If you can't make that, if you want to go further, if you're a little wilder, we're going to Nicaragua next Thanksgiving. You're probably already off for the week of Thanksgiving, or take a day, but we're going to go to Nicaragua to meet with another son of this church who is leading spiritually in that area. This church helped build a church building for a congregation there 2 years ago, 3 years ago. And now we're going to go back and share the gospel with a bunch of kids doing sports camp, VBS things there in Nicaragua, sharing the gospel with, I tell you, hundreds of kids are just going to come from everywhere to want to play. And we'll play with them, but we're going to tell them about Jesus too. Come along. If Christ returns at the end of 2016, will there be fruit on your tree? Or will you have been idle while you waited on him? Let us not be. Let's take part in what God has called us to do. He is coming. Listen, Christmas, this whole Christmas season, it's about waiting on the Lord. It's all about waiting on the Lord. It's about slowing down and saying, I know, I believe that Christ came, that he was born into the world. And so, because I know he came and was born into the world, I can trust that he's going to do it again. He's going to come back. If it was no thing for him to be born as a baby in a manger, then how much easier for him to come triumphant, enthroned as king, as ruler, coming as a ruler to his own place, to the world to take it. We can believe, because Christ came, that he will come again. Simeon and Anna had no trouble knowing that Christ was going to come, that the Father was going to keep his promises, and you can know that he's coming back. He's going to keep his promises. You can know that if Christ has called you free, if he has set you free from your sins, then you are free indeed. You can believe the promise that all who call on the name of the Lord will be saved. If you've never done this before, if you've never said, okay, I'm in, I'm going to obey him, I'm going to follow after him, then today's your day. If you said long ago, yeah, I believe, I'm in, but you've never actually followed after him in obedience, if your belief is some sort of wiggly, wet thing that doesn't actually obey, then today it's time for you. Obey Christ. Find your delight in him. Wait on the Lord with us. And go about worshiping with us today. If Christ kept his promise and came as a baby at Christmas, then you can know this too. No one who puts their trust in the Lord will ever be put to shame. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you that you have been so good to us. I thank you that you came and died. Father God, I thank you that you rose again. I thank you that you're coming back. I thank you that we can trust all of your promises to us. And I thank you that you've put your Spirit on us to help you obey you better. Father God, help us to obey you better. As I pray in your name. Amen.